Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
SpeakPipe.com viewer voice messages after Thanksgiving. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are filming this after Thanksgiving. I hope everyone had a great holiday. I know I did. Food, family, football, the best. Friends, fantastic. So I hope everyone got a chance to take a step back, detach, you know, get offline, and enjoy themselves. All right, let's go back to it. Let's get right back to it, all right? We got a lot of messages. Let's go ahead and start it off with Boot Boy.
Oh, what's up, James?
What's up, man?
This is Tuesday, so
all right,
a couple days late.
It's okay.
But born in 99, I've seen a lot of great years from the Saints.
And I was
depressing moments as
32.
Well. To moments where I would tell my parents, I can't believe y'all made me Saints fans. Like,
yeah,
it hurts my heart sometimes being a Saints fan, but you know,
yeah,
it comes with it. But honestly, seeing a rebuild, I'm pretty happy about it. Been under the Sean Payton era my whole life, so seeing something new is cool to me. But after this last game,
maybe not.
It's hard to make out the identity of the offense. Defense is all right. I like the new pieces we got. I do want to see Stutzman play more, but do like the pieces we have as far as defense. Hopefully build on that on draft. But it's just, you know, being under the Sean Payton era for so long, you know, he had that cockiness to him, that bravado, to where it's like, if he wants to, he's going to shove it down your throat. He's going to let you know that, you know, I'm that head coach. And then with Kellen Moore, you know, it's his first season. I'm not going to give him a rough time this year. But and I do like him as a play caller. Just not, I don't know what's going on right now. But in general, in theory, you know, it looks good on paper.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I just look at him on the sidelines sometimes, like, I just don't see that bravado. I don't see any type of arrogance to him.
Well, I can explain that. He's scoring 15 points a game and getting his ass kicked every week. You don't have – I'll go ahead and tell you. You go back and watch those 7-9 seasons and see how much bravado Sean Payton had. Not a lot. All right? It's easy to be arrogant. It's easy to have bravado, confidence, swagger, whatever. When you're one of the best teams in the NFL, you're scoring points for fun, the dome's rocking, whatever. You lose a lot of games in an embarrassing fashion, bad fashion, whatever. There is no bravado, okay? So I get that. I get wanting that, but that comes kind of with the territory. You don't have that whenever, I mean, if Kellen Moore was having arrogance and bravado and whatever right now, it'd be concerning. Because it's like, brother, scoring 15 points a game. We're losing every week. Like, this is what's going on here, right? So all of that, I think, is a product of what's going on around you. It's like Ben Johnson right now. Like, in the same season, right, we had Ben Johnson, who was, you know, looked like he was lost in post-game interviews or halftime interviews or whatever, and was feeling the pressure and certainly not a charismatic whatever guy. And then we see him yesterday or Friday, and he's taking his shirt off in the locker room. He looks like the king of the universe. Well, winning does that.
I'm not saying every coach has to have the same layout, but I think there's something that personality-wise with a head coach, like, you got to bring some type of swagger to you. Like, I see Mike Vrabel, you see Sean McVay, and it's just like, man, like, you know, I don't know. It's just the passion level, I guess. And, you know, I don't know Kellen Moore. You know what I'm saying? But you can just see it on the sidelines sometimes. Like, I don't know. It just looked like a guy calling plays out there. And, you know, I'm not going to doubt his, you know, analytical genius, whatever it may be. I don't know, his prowess, whatever. But it's just something about him on the sidelines sometimes where I'm looking and it's just like a blank canvas. I'm like, I don't know. It's like you can't get a good read on this dude. That kind of makes me feel a little weird because, you know, I'm used to seeing Sean Payton. And it's like, cocky, you got the attitude, got the swagger, and then you see Kellen Moore, and it's like, dang, bro, like, I don't know, just a little type of energy. But also with the draft, I know it's hard to pinpoint what the plan is going to be, but the way this offense looks, and I guess the way the roster's set up right now, I'm not saying, you know, two first-round picks is going to solve everything, but it feels like that kind of year where we have to go the Houston Texans route of C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson.
Well, that was the Carolina Panthers route. The Panthers allowed them to do that. What we need to do, and I'm not saying to do, I'm not saying to draft these positions. We need to do what the Giants did. And we need to find a way to get a top guy, all right, like they did with Abdul Carter, then find a way to get their guy, all right, Jackson Dart, and then get a piece that kind of brings that culture, identity, whatever, in Cam Scataboo. Now, for us, that could look like, you know, that could look like Arvell Reese, and then you take, you know, a wide receiver in the bottom of the first round or a running back or whatever, and then you find some, you know, a tight end at round two or three. However, whatever the combination is, we just got to start finding those pieces. We got to start finding the pieces of what's the identity moving forward, what's the roster, who's going to be our guys. Like Jeremiah Love right now, running back from Notre Dame. Where the Saints are offensively and Alvin Kamara is struggling and hurt now, it's like maybe he is the guy. You know, maybe if we're drafting sixth overall or something, maybe you take him. Like maybe you take your stud running back of the future, and maybe that's where you build. You know, we're not hearing a lot of people talk about that right now. It's all quarterback, whatever. But I would much rather have Tyler Shuck and Jeremiah Love versus Fernando Mendoza and Kendra Miller. Right? No hate to Kendra Miller. But so we need to start piecing that together. And maybe it's a 2-year thing. Right? Like maybe Tyler Shuck's quarterback of the future. Okay, let's find our running back of the future and our wide receiver. Or, you know, all of a sudden, there's a lot of different combinations. But that's what the Saints got to do in the draft. Or maybe it's defense. Maybe it's defense, right? Like Arvell Reese. Maybe Arvell Reese is your top guy, and then the second round, you find a defensive tackle or whatever, and then they come in, and then boom. Like all of a sudden, they're just monsters, and the defense is a monstrous unit, and they're carrying your team, and then you can kind of figure it out offensively, you know?
I'm saying we need a quarterback, but just saying, like, finding a way to get, you know, two highly touted people in the first round. I think that's just where it needs to go. I don't know how they would pull that off, but it seems like that kind of future outlook for us, where in the next, like, two drafts, where we're going to have to get two first-round picks. And hopefully that's, I don't know. It might not be possible, but if it is, I feel like that might be.
Remember, first-round pick does not correlate with, like, a super-talented player. It gives you a better chance just because you're picking from a bigger pool of players. But just like with the Giants, you can get guys later, right? Or I mean, the Rams are a good example, right? Puka Nacua, Kyren Williams, neither of them sniff the first round, right? So it's less about stacking up these first round picks, and it's more about you've got to hit. Same thing as last year. You can just go ahead and watch my draft videos from last year. I said, whoever you draft, wherever, they got to be ready to play now, right? Whether it's Kelvin Banks or Danny Stutzman or Quincy Riley or Jonas Sanker, all drafted in different areas, or Tyler Shuck or Devin Neal, all drafted in different rounds, different positions, different whatever, they got to be ready to play. And same thing this upcoming draft. I don't care who you draft and what round and all that, as long as you are doing your due diligence and they can come in here and be impactful players on whatever side of the ball immediately.
About to go to kind of jumpstart this rebuild and give Kellen Moore some more pieces, whatever it may be. But yeah, that's it for me. Have a good one. Stay blessed, franchise.
Thank you, man. I'm out. There you go. Appreciate it, man.
Also, for clarity, when I mentioned the two first round picks for the next 2 years, I meant in one of those 2 years.
Okay, I see. So he's saying in the next 2 years, those first round picks, he's not saying draft two in the same round.
Finding a a way to get two first round
picks. I got you. I got you.
I'm not saying back to back. That's crazy. But yeah.
All right. Thank you, Big Boy. Good call. Good call. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go. Next up, CJ.
Oh, man. This game was tough to watch.
Yeah.
It was very, very tough to watch because they had so much time to prepare, and they look so unprepared.
So bad.
I mean, the offensive line looked terrible. Like,
everything looked bad.
Oh, my goodness. Like, Cesar Ruiz is horrible. Horrible. Like, there was one play where I think Shuck got sacked, and Ruiz just let him just blow right past him. Like, he just looked like just like a deer in headlights, and that's just disgusting and sad. Like, and Shuck, he does need to get the ball a lot quicker. He's a rookie, whatever. I mean, it was bound to happen. I mean, it's bound to happen. It's just weird of how decisive and quick he got the ball out against the Panther. Like, the shit just doesn't make sense to me. But he's a rookie.
Well, I mean, the Falcons have a much better pass rush. All of a sudden, that clock speeds up, right? How fast you got to get the ball out, all of a sudden, that's even quicker.
I guess, whatever. But still, the preparation, like, they should have just been prepared, and they look very unprepared. Kellen Moore, I don't know what he needs to do, but a lot needs to change. I mean, some of the play calling decisions was very, very questionable.
Yeah.
I love Taysom Hill, but I just feel like Taysom Hill by himself, it just, like, the plays where it's just Taysom by himself just running the ball, it was just very uncreative.
I just had a caramel bundt cake with caramel sauce on top of it. And one slice of it, greatest thing of all, unbelievable, loved it, right? One slice, knock it down, ice cream on the side, rock and roll. I'm feeling good. Two slices? Hold on. I don't know if I want this. I'm not enjoying the second slice. That's Taysom Hill. Five carries, doing his thing, love it. Running the offense through him on the ground to where now he's all of a sudden our bell cow back. I don't like that no more. Right? That's exactly what's happening. When it's too much, it's too much. Some things are supposed to be, you know, sparse. And I think Taysom, especially at this point in his career, is one of those things.
Like, I just, like, yeah, Taysom is good and he can get you the extra yards, but he's not like he used to be. He's still good to do that, but I just feel like there should be a lot more creativity when it comes to that instead of just doing a fucking QB sneak, QB draw, whatever the hell this dude's trying to do.
Now, on one hand, I think Taysom, the less creative, the better. It's same to Tush Push. Taysom is, or should be, full head of steam, running downhill, gets you 2-3 yards, right? If he breaks one, he breaks one. That's what he's supposed to be. So I don't want to see the creativity where now he's rolling out, now he's doing bootlegs, now he's doing other stuff. Just do what he can do. Do what he's supposed to do. And right now, I'm not even sure if he can do that, you know, just because of all the different circumstances. He's not even a guaranteed 2-3 yards anymore. So I would rather him just do the job or just call the plays very linear with Taysom than watching these, like, bootleg rollout trickeration things.
I just think there should be a lot more when it comes to these plays that Kellen Moore is setting up for Taysom. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. I just feel like it could be a lot better. Like, shit, even do, like, an RPO with Taysom and Shuck. Like, they both can, like, shit, we saw it today. Shuck actually ran really pretty well when he did. It's just, I don't know. This is just stressful to watch. We may or may not. I mean, Kellen Moore, this might be his, kind of his Dan Campbell-esque, like, start. Like, just a terrible start. Something is broken, and he just needs certain people or certain things, certain players to get in the building to fix that. That might be the case. Who knows? But I really do believe Kellen can do it, but I just hope it happens soon, and we can at least see something good by the time, you know, the season ends. Yeah. I just hope we can at least see a little bit of something. This is going to be, this is just tough to watch. Don't know what to say.
Yeah, I mean, we got six games, right? We got six games, so I agree. We do need to see it. Like, we do need to see it, and we need to see it quick. All right, next up is Joseph Schneider.
Hey, what's up, James?
What's up, man?
Second time calling in, man. Speaking of second, we only have two wins on this season, but, you know, I think we're all winners in the Scrimmetaverse, as a
previous
caller once dubbed it.
That's a great point.
I think we'll look back on this era as not the post-Sean Payton era or the post-DA era or the Kellen Moore era. This is the James Scrimmeta era. Hey, man, I got a couple questions here. I really like our rookie class so far. You know, Kelvin Banks, Shuck, remains to be seen with Broughton, but I like Sanker, Stutzman, Riley, Devin Neal.
Yeah, I agree. I think the rookie class has been really good. And they have a lot of room to even get better. You know, like, if the season ended now, I think all of us would say this is a good rookie class. Might not be A++, but certainly a B, B+, somewhere in there. And that's what Tyler Shuck played in three games. You know, if Shuck looks good by the end of the season or throughout the next six, you know, six games or whatever, and we see a step for Devin Neal and a step for Quincy Riley or whoever, Danny Stutzman, all of a sudden this could be a really good class. So I agree. Right now, as we sit, I think this is a great class, especially with how much they have to play. Nobody expected Devin Neal to be running back one, right? No one expected these guys, Jonas Sanker. No one expected Jonas Sanker to be starting. All of a sudden, now he's the main guy. You know, so some of these guys have been thrust into a role that they probably didn't expect to be in. And I think, all things considered, I think they've been pretty good.
Do we think this could be a second coming of the 2017 draft class that revitalized the team? What more do we need to see to put it on that same echelon?
Tyler Shuck. What will change this draft class and how it's perceived is how good Shuck is. If Shuck is like a mid-tier, above average starting quarterback in the NFL, yeah, this is a like crazy draft class. So, but you know, conversely, if he isn't good, then all of a sudden that could really tank this, because then you just whiff your, you know, whiff a second round pick or whatever. But yeah, I mean, Banks, you know, if you come out of the draft and you're like, yeah, we got our starting left tackle, our starting quarterback, a starting linebacker, a starting safety, a starting corner, like, damn, I mean, that's a hell of a draft.
And, man, how do we get back to relevance, man? I feel like we're so bad that my friends of other teams don't even talk trash anymore. They just kind of feel sorry for me. Do we need another draft class of this same caliber?
Yeah.
Does this team just need more experience, more reps?
All the above.
Another question I have is, you mentioned before that, you know, it took Kellen Moore some time with the Eagles to kind of learn his footing and stop overthinking. And I think it was actually the Saints game where you mentioned that he kind of got over that.
Yeah.
Well,
no, the Saints game is an example of when he was doing it. Because if you go back and look at that Saints game, there's a few times where it's like fourth and one, third and one, whatever. And he doesn't do the tush push. And it's like, why aren't you doing it? You know, like, and that was the era where he was overthinking the tush push. He was overthinking, everyone knows this is coming, so let's not do it. When in reality, it's like the point of that play is even when you know it's coming, you can't stop it, right? Just like the Taysom thing. Like, yeah, everyone knows it's coming, but whatever. Like, everyone always knows it's coming. He only does one thing. You know, just do it. Like, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But playing 8D chess is, I think, hurting him, just like it hurt Philadelphia at the beginning there. And then he figured it out, and he kind of figured out, like, I'm just going to lean on this. I'm just going to lean on whatever. I mean, again, if the videos are those examples I gave, you can see a lot of third and three Jalen Hurts pass, fourth and three Jalen Hurts pass. It's like, why are you passing the ball twice on third and three and then fourth and three with Jalen Hurts when you've got Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, the tush, you have all these options where you could just like run it with Saquon, you probably pick up the first down. Run it with Jalen Hurts, you probably pick up the first down. You know, why are you throwing the ball, especially in the red zone?
You know, I do have faith in him. You know, a lot of the fan base is kind of down on him right now, but I do think he's a really good football mind. But when do we start seeing that translate to on-field results?
Hopefully soon.
Does he need to stop overthinking it and go back to basics?
Hell yeah.
You know, I know it's a personnel issue. The team is, you know, very lacking in certain elements. You know, we have a lot of young players, a lot of old players. But man, it just looks so bleak right now.
Yeah, it does. And we gotta start seeing it soon, 100%.
And lastly, you know, I feel like a lot of this is, you know, looked at Kellen because he's an offensive-minded coach. But I mean, we also have, you know, Nussmeier came from the Eagles. He's our OC now, and Tolzien is our QB coach. You know, are these guys, you know, are they yes men for Kellen? You know, are they also in the meeting rooms, kind of giving feedback to him? You know,
I mean, all coordinators are going to be yes men to the head coach, especially on that side of the ball. And I mean, like, you hate to be results driven or whatever, but if Kellen just, like last game, which is where a lot of this is obviously coming from, if he just would not have bundled the two possessions on the one, we are talking about this completely differently. Because that's 14 points, you know? Well, 11 points if you take away the field goal, because one of them we got a field goal. But, like, that is what really, it's that minute to where it's not, it's like, we were moving the ball well. We had back-to-back 15-play drives. You know, like, that's all fine. And if he would have just punched it in on the 1.5-yard line, and all of a sudden we have, you know, whatever, 27 points in this game instead of 10 points, you know, Blake Groupie makes his field goals and all that stuff. Like, I know it's a, you know, ifs and nuts, but it would look so different. Same with Buffalo. If the Philly tush-push special thing doesn't happen and they are the Philly special doesn't happen, and we just score, very different, you know, very different game in Buffalo, right? The Bayou Classics this weekend, it's freaking Gotham City out here. I mean, it's unbelievable. Downtown New Orleans is nuts, but it's crazy. But, you know, so, like, he's just a handful of decisions away. And that's why the Atlanta game was so frustrating, because it's like he had the opportunity to calm some of the noise, and he just did not. He just did not calm the noise at all. And if anything, he made it louder. And Miami, same thing. You have an opportunity to calm the noise. Now, Alvin Kamara's not playing. Chris Olave's got back spasms, or whatever. Like, the, you know. But he can't go out there and have another 3-point, 6-point, 9-point, 10-point game. Like, we got to start seeing some points. We got to start seeing something happen here.
We think these guys are going to get retained by the team. You know, I really think that Kellen is a great coach again, man. You know, you see what the Eagles have done this year. I mean, they kind of look like dog water on offense, you know, and I think that's partly to do with Kellen Moore leaving, you know. So when does it get better, James? I mean, the play calling's been bad. The product on the field is bad. You know, I took my son to the Falcons game, man, and that was his first game ever.
God.
We don't live in New Orleans anymore, but geez, what a somber experience, you know, driving back to Houston with that taste in our mouth. Pause.
That's okay.
So how much time do we allot to Kellen? You know, that's really about it, man. I appreciate your content. Love it. You're like one of my favorite YouTubers, you know, content creators. I listen to you multiple times a day.
Thank you.
The point now that my wife, who doesn't even follow football, she says, oh, you're watching your friend on TV again? I'm like, yes. That's my dog. So I appreciate it, man. Thanks for the call.
I just got goosebumps.
Bye.
I just got goosebumps. That was amazing, Joseph. Thank you. I mean, call every day. Call every day. You know, unbelievable. Great stuff from Joseph there. Much appreciated. Yeah, man. Look, I'm not going to lie to you. It sucks. And yeah, it is somber. I go to every home game. I've gone to every home game for over 10 years. Okay. That Falcons game, the last 15 minutes, the fourth quarter, basically. I might as well have just got my phone out and played Hearthstone or something, or just done something else, done my Duolingo. It was miserable. You know, like right now, it is not fun. It is a not fun viewing experience. But, you know, this is kind of where I believe in Kellen Moore. And I think he's just too good. Like, we know he can call plays, right? We know that. We know that he can figure it out. We know that he can, I'm not saying win a Super Bowl, you know, like level, like with Philly, because they had a crazy roster and all that stuff. But even with Dallas, we know he can call plays. We know he can run an offense. So I don't doubt that part. I don't doubt that, you know, he can't do it or whatever. Like Pete Carmichael, we had absolutely zero proof that he could even do it. And then he doesn't do it. And it's like, okay, well, I guess he just can't do this. Right? But, Kellen's a little different. So we have to give him this year. We have to give him next year. But every week that goes by, at this point now, every week that goes by is like, hey, man, you got to show me something. Especially next year. You know, next year is going to be even more of like, all right, look, now you've had a whole offseason. You've had more roster development. You've had another draft class, whatever. So I hear you, man. And I'm not going to sit here and tell y'all, oh, no, this is great. This is all fun, whatever. Because I feel it too. So, you know, it's tough right now, man. But we just got to keep putting one foot in front of the other, and we're on to Miami. All right, next up is Brazen.
Been watching your channel for about a year now. Is the first message I'm leaving. Just a few things about the Atlanta game and the season as a whole. Going into the season, I think you predicted anywhere from 5 to 7 wins.
Yeah, 6-11 was my official prediction, which, you know,
I was a little bit more pessimistic. I predicted 2-4, and I thought 7 would be if everything in the world went right. You said going into this Atlanta Falcons game, based on the injuries and of the Falcons and things like that, that this was a must-win.
Yeah, it was.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think we have a must-win game for the next 2 years.
Well, must-win in the sense of, and I'll tell you this, that was a no-brainer. But even if you just look at the sentiment of the fans, you realize why it was a must-win. Because now, like, don't forget, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, after the Carolina game, it was Kellen Moore's the man, Tyler Shuck's the man, we could win out, we could still do this, we could win that, we could, you know, I mean, every channel, right? Every single content creator was sky high. That is why it was a must win. As far as, like, the standings and playoffs and all that, yeah, I mean, nothing's a must win. I mean, we have 2 wins. But just from the human element of Kellen Moore, the system, the buy-in, the validation to prove things, to all that, like, it was a must-win. And I feel it. I mean, just like, I know y'all have watched the channel every day, every week or whatever, but you look at my videos and all of that before the Atlanta game and then since the Atlanta game, I don't have a choice but after the Atlanta game to really question what's going on. That's why it was a must-win. It was a must-win because the opportunity to answer all these questions, and then you don't answer any questions. If anything, you make more questions. So, yeah, I agree. Like, as far as, like, a traditional must-win for the season or the schedule or the standings or, yeah, I mean, who cares? Like, that's all been over, you know. But it absolutely was a must-win.
We could lose the rest of the games, and I still don't think firing Kellen Moore would be the right move.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
I'm not a Kellen Moore stan by any means, but when I looked at the roster going into the season, I thought it was a bad roster. I thought it was poorly constructed, and the good players we used to have, when we looked at their contracts, you know, when we signed them, looked like a good deal. Now we're seeing it's a bad deal, right?
My question to that would be who, right? Because Chris Olave has been really good, okay? Alvin Kamara has not had a good year, for sure. He has been bad, no doubt. And that might be more of an age thing, you never know, okay? Jawan, sure. If you look at the contract, not been good. But Chase Young's been great, right? So the draft picks have been good. I actually think the roster has outperformed the record. I mean, even if you look at, like, Spencer Rattler was fine. Tyler Shuck has been fine. Again, Chris Olave has been fine. The defense has been good. A lot of stuff's been good. Certainly better than the record, I think. So it would be, and part of me has gone back and forth on that. I think this game is a little different because, yeah, if it's Devin Neal and if Chris Olave's hurt and all of a sudden our number one is Devon Vele and, you know, like, okay. That changes things. But this team is not a world beater team, like this roster, but the roster is not like historically bad offense roster. Last year, the last six games or whatever it was, when we averaged like 12.6 points a game, which is like historically bad. 12.1 is the record for worst points per game over a season. But we had Spencer Rattler as a rookie. We had no one on the offensive line. Everyone was hurt. We had Jordan Mims as our running back. Dante Pettis was our wide receiver one. Bub Means was our wide receiver two. Mason Tipton, like, last year, I get it, okay? This year, and maybe it is closer to the same. And I don't know. Like, part of me says maybe. I can see both ways. If you told me the roster at the end of last year is pretty damn close offensively to this roster, I'd probably believe you. And if that's the case, it is a roster problem, right? I give it a tick higher, but then it's like, well, if you just give it a tick higher and this roster is averaging 15 points a game and that roster is averaging 12.6 points a game, kind of adds up, right? So maybe it is a talent issue. And if that's the case, just like last year with Kubiak, was the 12.6 points per game in the last six games of the year, was that a Kubiak problem? No, Kubiak's a man, right? So maybe, but even as I say that, it's like, well, I like Kelvin Banks is awesome. You know, Kelvin Banks is good, but maybe that's it on the offensive line because Telese Fuaga has been hurt. So maybe, you know, Radins and Fortner and Ruiz and Richards, maybe they're bad. Maybe the running back situation has been bad. Maybe everybody besides Chris Olave has been bad. It's like, all right, well, if you put it like that and you look at it through that lens, it's like, yeah, damn, we've got three players. You know, we have Kelvin Banks, Chris Olave, and the quarterback's been fine, so you can throw a quarterback in there. But beyond that, yeah, I guess it is kind of ass.
Over the next 2 years, we're freeing up a lot of the cap space, and hopefully we do well enough in the scouting department and the draft to get some good players in and get younger and keep expanding that salary cap room that we have now. I see a lot of people depressed and sell the team and sell the this and the that.
Yeah.
I think it goes back to what you were saying yourself about, well, look at Dan Campbell's first year. Look at how bad and how wrong it would have been to fire him at the time while he's figuring it out. I don't know if Kellen Moore is going to be as good or get us to as good a record, but I think it's way too early to tell.
I 100% agree with that. Way too early to tell. Now, my concern with the Campbell thing is that Campbell's issue, so for all of you that don't know, Campbell called offensive plays the first year. Campbell is calling offensive plays now, right? And the Lions are kind of broken. I don't think that's a coincidence. The Lions got good when he brought in good coordinators, which, again, I don't think is a coincidence. The Eagles do the exact same thing. Shane Steichen, Jonathan Gannon coordinators, badass. The next year, Matt Patricia was their DC. I don't even know who their offensive coordinator was. Ass. Then they bring in Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio. They win the Super Bowl. Fangio's still there, but Kellen Moore leaves. What's happening now in Philadelphia? Offense is horrible, right? My problem, though, is that Dan Campbell is not and was never an offensive play caller or a defensive play caller. So it made sense for him to give that up, right? Dan Campbell's best trait is man management, motivating, locker room, culture building, all that stuff. Kellen Moore is an offensive play caller. So what fixed the Lions was a combination of delegation. Dan Campbell delegated everything, and they nailed the roster building. The Saints can fix the roster building part, but Kellen Moore isn't going to delegate or shouldn't delegate any of that stuff. It's up to him to fix his own play calling. That's why he's there. He's not there to motivate and culture build and locker. I mean, that's part of it, sure, but he's there because of his offensive play calling, run the offense, all that stuff. He can delegate some of it, like maybe the timeout stuff, maybe the, you know, the like fourth down, two-point conversion thing. Maybe he gets a team and he delegates that off. They just tell him the numbers. He makes the decision, like Dan Campbell. But You know, that is the tiny difference. As far as results, yeah, I mean, this could absolutely be a Detroit situation where we just got to get our Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam Laporta, Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, we just got to, you know, our Penei Sewell, like, we just got to get these guys. And maybe, and then it's a roster situation. But that is the one difference in the Dan Campbell, Kellen Moore thing is their strength as, like, a coach.
I think this year and next year should be treated from a fan's perspective as strictly preseason. Okay, who's going to be with us long term? Who could be a piece of getting us back to where we're a good competitive football team? I'm not hoping we lose, but I'm also not the most upset when we don't win, because whether we're 4-7 wins, what does that matter this year? Other than a draft pick and, okay, well, this guy, now we know he's there. We know we want to keep this guy around for a contract. Yeah, so I wouldn't get too down. I appreciate taking the call. Later.
Thank you, man. I could care less about wins and losses. What gets me down, I guess, is like the Falcons game, where if we would have lost 27-35, who cares, right? The fact that we got blanked offensively at home off of a bye, that's the part where it's like, okay, that's concerning. You know, same with this upcoming Dolphins game. I don't care if we go beat the Dolphins, but if we get beat 17-3 and all of a sudden we haven't scored an offensive touchdown in 3 weeks, you know, then it's like, okay, well, that's concerning. All right. And like, I'm way more focused on the process. So if the process is bad, that's what I'm focused on. And the process was bad when you get blanked at home out of a bye week. So, yeah, wins and losses, who cares? Not worried about that at all. I just want to see yards per play up, points per game up. That's what I want to see, 100%. All right, let's do another call. Let's do another call in this one, and then we'll probably finish it in the next video, just so this isn't an hour-long video. So let's do, let's see here. Let's do Big K Superfan.
What's going on, James?
What's up, man?
The face of the franchise. Nobody does it better.
No one does it better.
Big K Superfan calling back again. And
yes.
Man, oh, man. Very disappointing loss.
Ay, caramba.
Disappointment. That's the only word I can really think of.
Horrible.
That accurately describes how that game made me feel.
Yeah.
Disappointment. I guess my question is, was this it? Like, was Kellen Moore clearly not being, like, was Kellen Moore and the team clearly not being prepared for this game for some reason? For whatever reason, you're not prepared for a game against a butchered team at home after a bye? Was this it? Like, was this the one that kind of tells you what you need to know, or should we just keep hoping that we go on a streak and, or like, because I'm not one of those fire Kellen Moore people. I'm not one of those like fast movers. Like, I'm a very patient person when it comes to it, but is this the one where you're kind of looking at it and you're like, well, you couldn't get this one? Like, we basically got blanked. Like,
yeah.
Let's be real here. We didn't really score any points thanks to Blake Groupie, and I'll get to him in a minute. Blake Groupie, you're lucky this is a family channel, because anyways, we basically got blanked.
Yeah.
So was this the game that kind of shows you that obviously, like, okay, he still needs his guys. So maybe not. Maybe I just answered my own question. But was this the game, like, does this tell you anything else that we need to know? Because I feel like there was a lot, right? All last week we were, I mean, apparently drooling all over our keyboards and saying that, you know, we should be ready for this game. And, you know, because we're off the bye and, you know, Falcons are in a bad traveling spot. We were basically saying, you know, that we really had no business to be. How did we lose 14 points? Like, I'm getting mad, James. Okay, let me not get mad.
I mean, it definitely is a red flag. Like, it definitely is a, like, a checkpoint where you failed the checkpoint. And so now, okay, well, that's a bad data point we got now. No doubt. Like, this was the opportunity to do a very specific thing. Come out strong out of the bye week. Have a good performance. Weaken Atlanta team. Not even win. I mean, yeah, you obviously want to win, but this was your chance to show that you could prepare, extra time, whatever. Could not have been a better situation just as far as like the schedule and stuff. And you lay an egg. So, hell yeah, it's like, I mean, it would be like if you practice and prepared and planned to bake a cake, and then you finally get the chance. It's like, all right, here's your chance to bake a cake, and everything's perfect, all the situation's perfect, whatever, and you roll out just a raw, undercooked, underbaked, inedible cake. It's like, damn, what the hell have you been doing? You've been practicing and doing all this stuff for weeks and weeks to get your big moment, and you get your big moment, and you serve an inedible cake? You couldn't even make this thing edible? You couldn't even just bake it? Like, that would be concerning, right? Then it's like, damn, am I going to tell you to never bake again? No, but you got to go back to the drawing board. You got to fix something. You got to check everything. You got to rewire, rewrite everything you're doing. You know, and so that's what this game was for Kellen. Where is it in the grand scheme of things? Like, is it like, all right, fireable offense, whatever. Did we learn everything we had to learn? No, but this was absolutely a very important data point that went against them.
Okay. Because like I said, I don't want to get too high or too low. Let's just, yeah. How should we feel about this, James?
Disappointed.
I guess that's my question. That's a
disappointed.
I don't know.
How you should be disappointed. We feel?
Like, should we feel like Kellen Moore isn't it? No, right? Obviously.
Right.
Right.
No.
But him not being prepared for this is it's such a big deal that I don't even. Him, like, to come out here and score 10 points at home.
One of which was a pick six, right? Now, the other side of it is that, and this part I struggle with as well. The other side of it is that, yeah, you score 3 offensive points, but you also miss 2 field goals and have a drive on the 1.5-yard line. So it's like, does 1.5 yards, is it that big of a difference in the overall, like, how things should be viewed? On one hand, yeah. Like, if you don't score touchdowns, you know. But just from an offensive standpoint, just from a, like, how we're viewing the offensive preparedness, does that 1.5 yards and missed field goals, does that sway everything we're seeing offensively? Part of me is like, well, it probably not, you know, like, but on the other hand, it does, because the decisions that were made on the 1.5-yard line and the 1-yard line, I think, contribute to us not scoring, right? At that point, it's, and I'm not really overly concerned about, like, the Saints' ability to move the ball. I think they can move the ball. I mean, they're not, you know, they're never going to be some insane offense. We don't have the horses, but they can move the ball. The question is, like, the philosophy and all that stuff when we're in situations like 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, goal line situations, red zone situations, or whatever. So it is kind of a tricky situation. It is kind of a paradox or whatever, but I think overall we should just feel disappointed.
In any circumstance, I don't care if it's a bye or not, like, 10 points at home is awful.
Yeah.
And we can play the game of like, oh, we should have had this many points, whatever. Yeah. At the end of the day, we had 10 points at home. We let Taysom Hill run the ball 10 times, which isn't his fault. I forgot Kamara went down. So never mind. I'll push back on the Taysom Hill thing. But 1.7 yards a carry for Taysom. I just feel like, and another thing, I feel like we take Shuck off the field too much. I don't like that. I feel like as soon as he gets a first down, he's coming off the field because of a Taysom play.
Well, like, the Chiefs did that on Thanksgiving. The Chiefs were in the red zone, and they run like a Rashee Rice wildcat play. And during Thanksgiving, I was sitting there, and we were all watching the game talking about it, and I was like, man, I don't care what the play is. I don't want to take the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands. And I'm not saying Tyler Shuck is Patrick Mahomes, but it's like, and he almost scored and whatever. And then they ran the ball the next play and didn't get it. And then on fourth down, Patrick Mahomes throws a touchdown pass. And it reminded me so much of the Saints, because it's like, you're in the red zone. Why are you running a wildcat play with Rashee Rice? And then why are you running Kareem Hunt? Like, you're gonna go second down, third down, and just completely take the ball to Patrick Mahomes' hands. And then on fourth down, he bails him out. But if on fourth down, you know, he gets sacked or incomplete pass, which it definitely could have been. I mean, he was lucky they scored because it was well covered. But if they don't score there, you're looking back at that and you're like, what the hell? We have a possession on the 5-yard line and we go with Kareem Hunt, Rashee Rice, Patrick Mahomes has nothing to do with the play. Like, you don't want that, you know? So sometimes it's like that with Tyler Shuck, where, you know, we're doing like, we'll run Devin Neal, and then all of a sudden Taysom comes in and he runs, and then Taysom does another play, and then Shuck play, you know, it's like, man, you know, it just feels a little disjointed. And that happened a lot with Sean Payton too. It happened a lot with Payton, where it was like, you know, Kamara would run the ball, and then Taysom would throw, Ingram would run the ball, Taysom would run again, and then Kamara runs. And it's like, we just had like 6 plays in between Kamara running and Kamara running. You know, it's like, he's our best player. I understand you're trying to do all this other stuff and have all these other wrinkles, but you shouldn't go 6-7 plays where in between your like best player touching the ball.
Let Shuck play quarterback. Which is kind of a slap in the face, because he did have 43 passes. But you know what I mean? I feel like we take him off the field too much. Like, just let him do his thing. Like, let him just have a drive where he can just try to get in the end zone himself.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the frustration talking. I don't know. But I would love to see what you think. Like, was this the one that answers the question? Like, does this answer any, like, deep questions? Or do we still just move on from this like it's a normal game and kind of just hope that the next game is like the Panthers game and we kind of just forget about this, or like, or should we kind of think about this like, hey man, we probably, it's a pretty big deal we didn't win this. I would love to see what you think, James. Thanks again. You're the best.
Thank Peace. You. Thank you for the call. I think, like you said it best right there, where you said, is this the game that answered the question? I think it could have been, but unfortunately, I think this is now the game that raised the question. This now is the game that gives us the question of, hey, can Kellen do this? Like, what's the problem? Like, now he could have answered all the questions, but now there's just bigger questions being asked. So now he's got to answer them again. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching. I will see you in the next video.